In my devotions, I was reading in Matthew and also in John about the blind. And I wanted to share with you some thoughts that I had on this topic. I want to read from Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 30 through 34, it says, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the way, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I should do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." Words in the Scriptures are not insignificant. They are meaningful. And here are two men that can't see. They know they can't see. And I think that is significant. They know they cannot see. But yet they can hear. They have ears to hear, but their perception, because of their eyesight, is limited. And they beg him for mercy. And it says that Jesus stood still and called them. And I'm aware of the fact that many are called, but few are chosen. And so here we have two men that know they are blind, yet they hear, and we see Jesus calling them. And their request was that their eyes may be opened. And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately they received sight and they followed him. I think it's significant that they followed him. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. These men responded to Jesus' ministry in that they followed him. They had eyes to see where to go. It's hard to follow somebody when you can't see where to go. But anyway, the reason that my heart was touched over these thoughts about the blind is the fact that the Word of God it says, "He that hath eyes or ears to hear, and ears to hear and eyes to see, are the ones who are being revealed the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens." And what I want to share with you this morning is this. Sometimes you can hear things that are coming from this pulpit that you don't understand, that don't come across as clear as they should, or as I would like for them to, because I'm inadequate sometimes in the way I present things. And it's your responsibility to see that you have a need and that you can pray that the Lord would provide you with the insight to what is being taught. If you know that you can't see, you can ask the Lord for mercy and He can stop and He can call you and He can correct the problem. In John chapter 9, verses 39 through 41, Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." I think that's pretty interesting comment. I mean, here he's healing people that are blind so they can see, and yet there are people who see that he wants to put out their lights. This is not a physical thing. This has to do with spiritual insight into his ministry. Jesus was teaching those who had ears to hear and eyes to see. And occasionally he would run across someone who would have ears to hear, but limited vision, limited sight. The psalmist said, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And that is a legitimate prayer. Lord, open my eyes so I can see things that you have for me. Wonderful things. In Matthew 13:16, it says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." And Jesus cried unto the multitude when he was giving the parable of the sower, and he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Jesus knew the consequences of being able to hear things and then have an insight into those things brings additional accountability and a more severe judgment because of what you do with the information that you have. The Lord is compassionate and the Lord is merciful in that He doesn't share everything with everyone, because He knows what your capacity is. He knows whether He's called you or not. He knows whether you or I are elect. And there's no need in giving you information that you can't process and that you cannot respond to if it's going to mean greater judgment for you or for me. In Romans chapter 9, we do have, in verses 11 through 16, the standard for election. "For the children being," this is verse 11, "for the children," that is in Esau and Jacob, "being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." Just like the Lord called the blind men to him. "It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. So then it is not the will of him, is not of him that willeth, excuse me, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." The blind men sitting at Jericho called out to the Lord to have mercy upon them. And Jesus stopped. And it said he had compassion upon them. And he opened their eyes. This has to do with election and choices that God has made in his family. So one will rule over another as his plan, as he has planned it in the before the ages begun. So we see in this passage of Scripture, when it comes to election and the calling, God says, "I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion." This has nothing to do with salvation at all. This has to do with your position and your place in the family. "For many are called, but few are elect," are chosen. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, Paul says, "Making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart, being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Paul also prayed for those at Ephesus. He knew that they were listening to the Word of God, because he said, after I heard of your faith and love. Faith and love for the brethren comes through the ministry of the Word. Paul knew that they were hearing the Word. Therefore, he prayed that their eyes might be opened, that they can see what the hope of the calling is. What is the hope of the calling? It has to do with election. It has to do with ruling and reigning. It has to do with the coming kingdom. Salvation is for the dead. For the dead in their trespasses and sins. The kingdom is for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. And so therefore, we can pray that the Lord would help us to see things that we can't see and that we don't understand, if we are hearing the truth and are willing to continue to listen to the truth. And Paul prayed for them as well, that the eyes of their heart or understanding might being enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of the calling, and not only that, but the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. We know from Isaiah 7, verses 14 and 15, where Isaiah says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." This is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, the virgin birth. It says that butter and honey shall He eat, that He may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. The butter has to do with the hearing of the Word of God. Honey has to do with the enlightening of the eyes. You can hear the Word of God taught, but if you don't have any understanding of what's being taught through enlightenment, it's hard to assimilate the butter. It's hard to apply the butter. And the butter and the honey help us to refuse the evil and to choose the good. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 23, it says that Jonathan put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in the honey comb, and he put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. You need to associate honey with enlightenment for the eyes. Jesus ate butter and honey, and he chose the good and refused the evil. In John chapter 9, we have an incident of a man born blind. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And then in verse 32 of chapter 9, it says, "Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind?" Here Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath that had been born blind from birth. And no man had ever done that, ever. And of course the Pharisees and the didn't like it, because Jesus was healing on the Sabbath. And they were arguing with Him, "You know, you didn't really get healed." And He says, "I don't know, but I can sure see." And they wanted to check with His parents, and His parents says, "Hey, the man's old enough. Yeah, you check with him." And so they ask Him again, and the guy says, "Hey, why should I tell you the same thing? You didn't hear you didn't hear the first time." And then they got really indignant, and they said, "Hey, you're truly born in sin, and you're teaching me? You're teaching us?" That gives us a little insight into the fact that the Pharisees were not teachable. They resisted being taught. And in verse 35 of chapter 9, it says, Jesus heard that they had excommunicated him. That's really what it amounts to. They cast him out of the synagogue. And when he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe in the Son of God, present active? Here's a man born blind. He now sees. And the Lord's giving him an opportunity to do the work of God. We know that the work of God from John chapter 5 is believing in the present tense. And this man who received his sight answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? I like that. Who is he, Lord? He was, you know, just like Paul said, Lord, what would you have me do? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. He had eyes to see, and the Lord gave him ears to hear. And what did the man do? He said, Lord, I believe, present tense. And he worshipped him. There's another incident of the Lord healing some blind men. And the Lord told them, don't go tell anybody what it did. And they called him Lord as well. But as soon as he left, they went out and told everybody what he did. He just disobeyed the Lord. He was no longer Lord after they got their eyesight. And they didn't follow him either. But this man followed the Lord. But we see some insight into the Pharisees in John 9:39 and 38. And Jesus said, For judgment I came into the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye would have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. That's a pretty involved statement. What does that really mean? Well, here are some Pharisees that say, We see. And they confirmed the fact that they didn't need anybody to teach them. When they told the blind man, Who are you teaching us, you sinner? And the Lord said unto the Pharisees, If ye were blind, you would have no sin. What was the sin of the Pharisees? First of all, they were not teachable. In John 15, verses 22 and 20 through 24, it's an interesting statement that's made here. And then we pick up the sin of the Pharisees later on, or earlier in John 15. But in John 15, 22 and through 24, it says, If I had not come and spoken unto them, that is the Pharisees, they had not had sin. But now they, the Pharisees, have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father. What was the work that he had done that no other man had ever done? He opened the eyes of a man born blind. That removed any excuse the Pharisees had of the fact that they said, Are we blind also? And the Lord said, Your sin's on you because you say you see. Now, what was their sin? Well, in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, it says, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That was the sin of the Pharisees. They weren't teachable. They weren't willing to teach the truth of the Word of God. So the sin of teaching stuff that they've always heard stayed with them. In other words, they didn't make any changes in their doctrine. They stuck with tradition and they weren't willing to change. And then in verse 12 through 14 of John 15, or excuse me, Matthew, I'm saying John, it's Matthew 15 verses 8 through 9. And then in Matthew 15, 12 through 14, it says, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch." You follow the teaching of the Pharisees who talk, but their heart's not with the Lord. They're teaching tradition and they're not teaching the truth of the Word. One thing I picked up on that verse, or in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, I want to give this to you because this is on the side, okay? This is good. It says, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." They worshiped him by teaching. Did you know that teaching the Word of God is worship? What we're doing right now is worshiping the Lord. Clapping our hands and swaying and singing peppy music may be a form of worship, but let me tell you, teaching is a definite beneficial form of worship. When it says we need to worship Him, the Father seeketh Him, those that would worship Him in spirit and in the truth. Worshiping in the truth is being taught the truth, and the spirit that He's referring to there is a spirit of submission to the truth. To be teachable. Okay, I wanted to share that with you because that just jumped out to me this morning when I was looking over the verses. They worship through teaching, so do we. Except that we hopefully want to teach the truth. Now, they be leaders of the blind and they'll both fall in the ditch. That's the reason why their sin remains on them. They say they see, but they don't. And they're stuck in their old tradition and their old doctrine, and they're not willing to change. Now, in fact, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 13, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." That is a grave sin. That is grave to hinder somebody from responding to the things that they hear and the things that they see, that they might enter the kingdom of the heavens and rule and reign with Christ. There are those that would hinder us in that pursuit. I was thinking about those that were around the two blind men in Jericho in Matthew chapter 20. It says that the multitude rebuked them. Not the many that are called, but the masses are the ones who rebuke those who want to rule and reign with Christ, who want to have their eyes opened and their ears opened. The masses, the multitude rebuked them. And may the Lord have mercy upon them for doing that. Now, in Revelation chapter 3, in verses 17 through 18, we find a church that is blind. The church at Laodicea were saying to themselves, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. There are a lot today that associate money with God's blessing. Let me tell you, what did Jesus do to help us who were poor and destitute? He became poor that we might become what? Rich. Now, no, rich in the blessings of the coming kingdom. And here we find a church that said in their hearts, I'm rich, I am increased with goods, I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Here's a church that's blind. They can't see. They don't have eyes to see. They may have ears to hear. Yet, the Lord said all the way through the second and third chapter of Revelation, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So there were those in the churches that didn't have ears to hear, but there were some. Now let's continue. Verse 18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. If you're having a hard time seeing, you can do something about it. You can ask God to have mercy upon you. And then you can apply eye salve. And I found some eye salve in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, that is, your ability to please God. Because that's what faith gives you the ability to do. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Are you pleasing God? I say amen. But you need to do more than that. You need to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Verse 8 tells us, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The very thing that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus to have. The wisdom and knowledge of Him. The epinosis, the knowledge upon knowledge. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. What old sins? I think that's a sin that has to do with the doctrines of the Pharisees. The old stuff. That's what I think that we have been purged from. We have been delivered from the bondage of the law, because that's what the Pharisees were teaching. You've got to apply the law if you're going to qualify to rule and reign, and that's not the way you do it. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the age-lasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What does having ears to hear and eyes to see have to do with? The mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. You can hear. And if you're having trouble seeing, you can pray about it and ask the Lord for mercy. And if you're still having trouble, well, first of all, you need to make sure you're living by faith. And then if you're pleasing God by living by faith or trusting Him for every need, then you need to put on the eye salve of virtue and knowledge and self-control and diligence, that's patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, caring for one another, and love for each other and for the Lord. This is the eye salve that will help us to see. Well, I just want to encourage you in the fact, or in the area of understanding the Word of God. I know that there's sometimes that it's just not clear, because I don't teach like the Lord Jesus Christ taught, and He was a master teacher. And yet the Lord can take up the slack between my abilities and the knowledge of the Word of God through your prayer life and through your applying the Word, applying the ISAV, so that you will not have to be blind, but that you can be effective in knowing the truth pertaining to His coming kingdom and glory. And by doing that, you're going to make your calling and election sure, and you're going to have an abundant entrance into His coming kingdom. The Lord's merciful, and He is compassionate, and He will have mercy upon whom He will have mercy, and He will have compassion upon whom He will have compassion, and He has provided the means for Him to do both of these in each of our lives here today. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You that we can worship You through teaching Your Word. We thank You, Father, that we can receive ISAV through the ministry of Your Word in each of our hearts and lives. And Lord, as we struggle with truth, give us boldness to say, Lord, have mercy upon us and open our eyes that we can see wondrous things out of Your law. Bless the message to each of our hearts, and Lord, help us to make our calling and election sure, for we desire an abundant entrance into Your coming kingdom. For it is in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.